in the kitchen, and Chris was around quite a bit as well, which is obviously fun. Yeah, it's really awesome to be back in Durham. Like Priya said, I spent 3 years of my life there and absolutely love it. So during lockdown, it's a joy to come up, even though it's a pity I don't get to see Barnard Castle, as some other people have. I love Durham. I've got a painting right here in my study. That's Durham. And I've got that with me in Brighton. I'm going to be speaking today about justice. Can everyone hear me? Just wanted to check. Great. Priya, would I be able to, have you got the PowerPoint up or? Cool. I think we're going to go into breakout rooms, if that's possible. Sorry, I'm asking the tech assistants, Priya and Chris, to do quite a lot today. But if we can go into breakout rooms just for 3 minutes, I wanted to start, with discussion. And as it says here, what would a more just world look like? Love us to discuss that. What would the world, what would you like the world to look like after COVID-19? 3 minutes, probably enough, but hopefully we'll have some fun discussion.
Jeremy's just going to put
this. I'm just sorting them out, Abigail.
Got employed by Fred. Right. Yeah, what do you guys think? I'll be on mute, so the group that I wasn't in want to quickly summarize what would a more just world look like.
That's you.
Again, really interesting.
So,
sorry about
the group that you weren't in, I thought you said.
Yeah, sorry, the group that I wasn't in. But Jeremy, if you want to head up.
I can do that. So there was, first of all, we said there would be enough food for everybody. There would be equality amongst people. We would live out of a thankful heart with love of life and love of sharing life with each other, having deep relationships where there was no hurt but friendship. We would have act out of motivated hearts, and we would trust in God and not live in fear.
Mm. That's so good. Who was in the other group? Does anyone just really quickly want to say, sure, you covered similar things, but
yeah. We wanted freedom from oppression. A world that looks for everyone's needs, to not just make money for ourselves, but to help other people, to be less selfish, to value everybody equally, and in a post COVID-19 world, how should we behave and respond to other people who are still feeling vulnerable or who are vulnerable?
That awareness
and being aware, and how do I include them into my thinking of how I can include them into my actions.
Great discussions, guys. Priya, I just wonder if we can in a second just head to the video. What I just wanted to say before was, as we discussed in our groups, coronavirus we've seen has heightened all of those injustices that we have in the world, poverty, hunger, racism, everything. It seems that COVID has made them worse, really. But what I wanted to encourage you with is that the dreams and hopes that we have for that world, which is more just, that world that God believes in, that kingdom that we're praying for to come down, that is possible with God. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about today, how our God is a God of justice, and with him, justice can be unstoppable. The video we're just going to share is, it's from IJM. I'll head over to Priya to share it. Is the sound on?
There is no sound.
Hold on one sec. It'll be because it's coming through your system stuff.
I think when you share video, just make sure when you share screen that you've enabled sound. Zoom is...
Yeah, we've done that. It's... worship setup. Chris.
He puts the 99 into the pen, and he goes after and he searches for the lost sheep until he finds it. And he's very particular with that language. He goes after the sheep until he finds it. And to me, that just shows the relentlessness of our Father. What we do at IJM is we go look for that lost sheep, that girl that's being abused, and we will search for her until we find her. That's how our Father has loved us. That's how we are called to love others. Not to search for them until we've satisfied ourselves. Not to search for them until it gets really hard. But to go after them until we find them. To be relentless in our love for those that are abused, for those that are oppressed, for those that are being held down.
Yeah, so the video that we just watched, if you hit the next slide, Priya, is from an organisation that I work for called IJM. At IJM, we love to say that justice is our middle name, and it quite literally is. IJM stands for International Justice Mission. And IJM works around the world to fight violence, modern slavery, sex trafficking, human trafficking, forced labor, slavery, child labor, all forms of injustice. Next slide. IJM is the world's largest anti-slavery organization. And IJM's mission statement is this one here: to rescue millions, to protect half a billion, and to make justice for those in poverty unstoppable. And this is quite an ambitious mission statement. Often when we say this at work, it fills us with a little bit of fear. Is that actually possible, what we're trying to do? But what I'm here to hopefully encourage you guys with today is that our belief in an unstoppable God empowers us to fight for an unstoppable justice. Next slide. So as we saw in that video, Jesus is the shepherd who leaves the 99 to go after the one who is being abused, the one who is oppressed, the one who is mistreated. This photo is from an IJM rescue mission in Ghana. The boy being carried to safety is a survivor of forced labor slavery. He was trafficked onto Ghana's Lake Volta, where there's a notorious fishing industry that employs children to work for them for long hours, who are often abused and often not paid. Just this week, we had news of another rescue in Ghana, 3 more children brought to safety. In lockdown, IJM Ghana's team of investigators and social workers and lawyers has been relentless. They, in their words, stop at nothing to make sure that these children are found and are brought to safety. This care for those who are in need is our business as Christians. Isaiah says here, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. That's all very well for them, you might think, for you, that's your job, but what, it's not for me. What does that kind of justice have to do with us, with our everyday, ordinary lives in and out of lockdown? And I think the prophet Micah, he seemed like he knew that we would ask that question. What does justice have to do with us? And his answer is plain and simple. Justice is not an optional extra. Justice is what is required of us. It says here, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. I think this is my favorite and hopefully most simple description of justice in the Bible. And in the Message translation, which is often one of the best ways of putting the Bible really simply, it says, do what is just and fair to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. For me, taking God seriously means taking him at his word, taking these passages from Micah and from Isaiah to heart, putting them into practice. Taking God seriously means taking care of those who are in need. And taking God seriously also means remembering that the work of justice is actually not my burden to carry. God is the God of justice, not me. He is the one who works justice and righteousness for those who are oppressed. But the Archbishop Justin Welby said in his book that justice is intrinsic and integral to the Christian walk. He says, God cares for those in need, and he expects those who claim to act in his name to do the same. That means action and words. As Christians, every day we're looking to look and act more like Jesus. And that means more than words. It must affect our everyday actions. In September 2018, I watched an investigative documentary on high street fashion by Stacey Dooley. Now, I am a big fan of Stacey Dooley. I was there before she won Strictly Come Dancing. I even served her coconut body butter when I worked in the body shop that Christmas. But this documentary is called Fashion's Dirty Secrets. I'd hazard saying was life-changing. It brutally awakened me to the devastating impact that fashion, fast fashion, was having on the planet and its people. Fashion employs 1/6 of the world's workers. Many of them are women. Many of them are unfairly treated and poorly paid, often in countries in developing nations such as India and Bangladesh. This photo here behind the title, Who Made Your Clothes, is from the Rana Plaza disaster. This factory collapsed in 2013. 1,134 garment workers died, and over 2,500 were injured. They had been making clothes for UK retailers like Primark, Mango, and Matalan. When I found that out, it challenged me to the core of my being, and I knew that I couldn't be the same. I couldn't continue shopping where I was shopping. I had to do better. As I dug further into these facts and stories, I was radically moved to change my habits and to ask, who made my clothes? I could not claim to be Christian and yet support businesses which exploited the ones that Jesus loved, those who are in need. I knew that I wanted to stand up for my values of caring for others and caring for the planet. And I committed to a fast of fast fashion. I did this for a year. I vowed not to shop at Zara, and I started to look for different alternatives. I started to look how my lifestyle could be more measured, less spurred by instant gratification, and more mindful of who made my clothes and the dozens of people who work for the fashion industry. I started to find dozens of inspiring, ethical, sustainable, and fair brands who were challenging the injustice in the fashion industry. So when buying new clothes, I looked for more ethical alternatives. And when I couldn't afford them, which was quite often, I would buy secondhand. I was learning, and I still am learning, that justice has to affect how I live. Justice has to be lived out in my ordinary decisions. Justice affects what I wear, eat, and buy. And I know that in this series you've been talking about the early church. I think that the early church made that similar connection. Justice affected everything that they did. The church in Acts was a beacon of generous justice, of radical sharing and solidarity with those in need. Aside from the Psalms, justice is mentioned more times in Acts than in any other book in the Bible. The early church was a community of unstoppable justice. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's descent led to a breakdown of barriers. It was the reverse of the Tower of Babel. Believers became of one spirit, even speaking one language. And that led to a spirit of unstoppable justice. Acts 4:34 says, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. No needy persons among them. As we shared in our breakout rooms of our hopes for a post-COVID world, many of us hope for that, where there'd be a world with where no one is suffering, no one is hungry. And today, that kind of dream, it sounds insane and it often sounds impossible. But the early church showed that their radical generosity, it made the impossible possible. Martin Luther King, founder of the civil rights movement in the US, his goal, he said, was to create a beloved community. And this will require qualitative change in our souls, as well as quantitative change in our lives. What is truly amazing is the generosity in the early church. They were a beloved community in the broadest sense of the word. And their generosity actually lent their preaching of Christianity more power. It was almost as if the generous, just living of the Christians looked so distinctive and attractive and striking to those who were watching that the outsiders were more inclined to believe it. Justice, generous justice, is attractive. In preparing for this talk, I found an article online on Christianity Today, which was titled, "I Have Only One Hope for Racial Justice, A God Who Conquered Death." And with a title like that, I had to read on. The author, Esau Macaulay, writes this of the early church in Acts. "Our limited imaginations do not form the boundaries of what God can do. Humans have limited power. We can maim and kill or be killed. We can make promises of social unity that we often lack the power to actualize. But a God who defeated death and called to himself a people who understand the full scope of his victory is unstoppable." That belief in an unstoppable God is precisely what made the early church so difficult to control it made them dangerous. See, unstoppable justice crosses boundaries. It stops at nothing. I'm sure most of you have seen this incredible, inspiring image of Patrick Hutchinson, who was a Black Lives Matter demonstrator in London just a few weeks ago. And he's seen here in this picture carrying a man who was protesting. He was protesting against Black Lives Matter. He was a far-right white supremacist. And yet, Patrick is seen here carrying him to safety. This man was caught in detention and he had been hurt. And Patrick, in an interview, said that it just seemed like the thing that he had to do. He had to show mercy to the man who was hurt. See, the man here, the protester, the white man, he's not deserving of that kind of mercy. He's not deserving of that kindness. But Jesus would have done the same. Jesus was always crossing cultural and traditional and social barriers. He was always doing the unlikely thing. He was doing what was just and right to his neighbor. And the story of the Good Samaritan is one amazing example. Mercy is undeserved, but it's God's grace that makes us merciful, and it's God's grace that makes us just. I wonder if anyone has seen this new film. It came out this Christmas in January. And in June, across America, it was actually made free across all streaming platforms. Unfortunately, not so in the UK. You can buy it on Amazon Prime. And I would really recommend watching it. Just Mercy is the story of a defense attorney in Alabama called Brian Stevenson. It's based on a true story. And Brian Stevenson decided that he would make his life's mission about showing mercy, and he set up an organization called the Equal Justice Initiative, which works to give legal assistance to those who have been wrongly incarcerated and imprisoned in Alabama's prisons because of the color of their skin. In that film, there's a quote, and Priya, just gonna thank you. And I love this quote. It says, "We are all implicated when we allow other people to be mistreated. An absence of compassion can corrupt the decency of a community, a state, a nation. We all need mercy. We all need justice. And perhaps we all need some measure of unmerited grace." Recently, as I'm sure most of you have been affected by the horrific murder of George Floyd and everything that that brought about, in reflecting and doing my own personal work to think about these issues of racism and injustice, this verse from 1 Corinthians has been the most powerful for me. It says, "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it." That means if one person suffers in America as a victim of racism and injustice, all of us as a society, we all suffer. If a garment worker in Bangladesh is unfairly treated, we all suffer. As being a body of Christ, this is what it means to truly care for each other and know that we are one, we are more than just our individual selves, and we have to act like it. But doing justice on our own is exhausting. Gary Haugen, who's the founder of IJM, the organization that I work for, he often encourages us. He says, "Justice is God's work and it's God's weight." He often tells us to throw off the burden of carrying the work of justice. It isn't our burden to carry. But it's my delight to to partner with God in making justice unstoppable. This verse in Psalm 103 says, "It's the Lord that works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." It's not me, it's not you, it's not us, it's God. He is making justice unstoppable. But in partnering with him and in doing the work of justice in our own lives, we can make it unstoppable. And so, yeah, now as I just finish and close, I'd love us to think more practically about how we can do justice in our everyday lives. How can we be that community of unstoppable justice today? How can we act justly and love mercy in our everyday actions? How can we remember the weak and the vulnerable, or those whose voices are often silenced in our workplaces, in our universities, our businesses, or even on our trips to the supermarket? How can our actions speak up for those who are oppressed? I've just got a few tips. There's many more, and I'm very happy to chat to anyone who's interested about these things. But I just have a few tips for what I have been learning recently about how to live a just life. It starts with prayer, as any good thing should. So pray. This, as I said, this is God's work. Sometimes it's heavy. Sometimes it's difficult to be thinking about injustice. But I'd encourage you to find a local prayer group. For students in Durham, there's a great organization called Just Love, Just Love Durham, who often have prayer meetings and to fight the work of to fight against injustice. You can sign up for prayer updates from an organization that you care about. You can even get them from IJM. You can even join our virtual Zoom prayer meeting that is going to be on the 21st of July. So it starts with prayer. My second tip would be do the work. Look into your brand. Look into how they treat their workers. There are great apps like Good On You, which is an app which is basically a search engine that you can search in Mango or Zara or Primark, and it will tell you its good and bad ratings on labor and environment policies. My third tip would be don't settle. There will almost always be a more ethical alternative to what you're trying to buy. That's what I've found. Often it's not the quickest thing that comes up on a Google search, and often it takes a little bit more work to find it. But see if you can support a business who's doing its business differently and ethically as you make your purchases. And finally, my last tip would be choose your cause. We can't all care about everything as much as I've tried to do that. Sometimes it's difficult, but we are all uniquely positioned to care about something that no one else can. And so I'd encourage you to pray about a situation that you care most deeply about and what you can do about it in your local area or on an international scene by supporting an organization or NGO. We can all do something, and it's those little actions of good that can overwhelm the world. So I'd love to finish by a prayer. This prayer is it's something that Pete Gregg, I'm also a big fan of, put up on his Twitter recently, and it is from a Catholic theologian called Ron Rollheiser. I'm going to pray it, and I'd love us just to quiet ourselves and just to ask God to speak to us about everything that we've just heard and hopefully prompt us into what we can be doing with our everyday, ordinary lives, how we can join God in making justice unstoppable. So I'm just going to pray. Our Father, who stands with the weak, the powerless, the poor, the abandoned, the sick, the aged, the very young, the unborn, and those who, by victim of circumstance, bear the heat of the day, who art in heaven, where everything will be reversed, where the first will be last, and the last will be first, but where all will be well, and every manner of being will be well. Hallowed be thy name. May we always acknowledge your holiness, respecting that your ways are not our ways, and your standards are not our standards. May the reverence we give your name pull us out of the narcissism, selfishness, and paranoia that prevents us from seeing the pain of our neighbour. Your kingdom come. Help us to create a world where, beyond our own needs and hurts, we will do justice, love tenderly, walk humbly with you and each other. Your will be done. Open our freedom to let you in, so that the complete mutuality that characterizes your life might flow through our veins, and thus the life that we help generate may radiate your equal love for all and your special love for the poor. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing, Abby. That was